Our first scripture lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 12. Listen for God's word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart.
We want to say a special word of thanks to all of these families and friends who have shared their remembrances with us this morning, and also thanks to Maxine Travis, who shared a poem that she had written with us as well. We gather together as a communion of saints, and we remember and we celebrate, and we are so grateful for their presence in our lives. Our second lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Ever since he was young, Taylor Mertens loved church buildings and worship spaces. Whenever he is traveling someplace new, while his family and friends are off sightseeing, he can be found exploring local churches and unique sanctuaries. So it should come as no surprise that he eventually became a pastor, a Methodist minister. Whenever he enters a church for the first time, Mertens has made it a habit to walk to the front near the altar, kneel on the floor, and pray. Sometimes the prayers have been about the safety of a mission trip or some other church project, or for God to bless the people and the preacher who called this particular space home. One summer several years ago, Mertens had the opportunity to lead a group of college students to the Taizé community in Burgundy, France. The ecumenical Taizé community has become one of the most important pilgrimage sites in modern-day Christianity, and people come from all over the world to visit there, to engage in worship and prayer and Bible study and service, and to live in a spirit of simplicity, kindness, and reconciliation. When Merton's group arrived at Taizé, they were touring the community, and they entered the small chapel. Mertens writes, "I was overcome by its opulence. The stained glass was filled with such vibrant colors, letting in just the right amount of light through the scenes of Scripture. The crucifix at the front had a triumphant Christ hanging on the cross above the altar. The pews were made of well-worn wood that conveyed a deep sense of time and care. While my friends examined the fine details of the space, I walked up to the front, fell on my knees, and prayed. I must have been there for some time, because when I opened my eyes, it took them a moment to readjust to the light. Below my knees, I noticed some writing on the marble stones that made up the floor. While my eyes began to focus on the crude letters, I was gripped with a sense of fear and awe. The floor was made of old gravestones. With all of the beauty surrounding me on the walls and the ceiling, with an altar worthy of a king and a pulpit raised high in the air, I neglected to notice the most sacred and holy element of the church. The floor and the foundation of the worship space was made possible through the saints that have gone before us, a constant and beautiful reminder that this was holy ground. Friends, on this All Saints Sunday, we too are standing on holy ground, even if we are sitting on the couch or around the kitchen table in our homes. We are standing in a holy time and place, a thin place, the ancient Celts called it, where the barriers between time and space become hazy, nebulous. As Dr. Christine Walters-Paintner writes, in the ancient Celtic imagination, this was considered to be a thin time, when the veil between heaven and earth grew more transparent, and the wisdom of our ancestors was closer to us. We are reassured that we are not alone, that we share the world with a great cloud of witnesses and a communion of saints just across the veil. These next several days are a threshold space, and in thresholds we are closer to the other world, which is always there. Just like those stones under our feet that we don't even notice and often take for granted, we are standing on the words and deeds, the witness and the faith, the love and the generosity of so many faithful folks who have gone before us. Although they are always there and worthy of our remembrance and thanksgiving, today we intentionally make some time and space to remember, to grieve their loss, and to celebrate the gift of their lives to us. This year especially, we are dealing with disruption and loss on a scale much larger than usual. In addition to the loss of loved ones, we are grieving many other losses too. Over the past 8 months, people have lost jobs and income and financial security. We have lost opportunities to gather together with friends and family and celebrate many of life's big milestones, like graduations and confirmation, weddings and funerals. We have lost our normal routines and our sense of trust in the safety and stability of our lives. In this time of limitation and isolation, some have lost their connections with family, friends, and neighbors. With all of the ongoing political strife in our country, our growing awareness of how deeply scarred our nation is by its history of slavery and injustice, and the pandemic's continued grip on our well-being, some of us have even lost faith in ourselves, our country, our God, and our hope in the future. Whether or not we have lost a loved one in the past year, we are all living in the midst of a collective cloud of grief, as well as a time of great upheaval, uncertainty, and transition. Regardless of who wins the election, or when a vaccine is available, or when we are able to gather together in person for worship, life will not be what it was before. There is no going back to whatever normal we had become comfortable with, or the assumptions we held about how the world was supposed to work. Instead, we will be living into a new normal, a new way of being friends and family, neighbors and citizens, a way that hopefully builds on the best of who we have been and a way that becomes more and more what God intends us to be as individuals, as a community, and a country. Both of our scripture lessons this morning were written to people and communities who either were or were about to be thrust into these same circumstances of grief and loss, upheaval and uncertainty. Many scholars believe that the letter to the Hebrews was actually a sermon that a pastor wrote to a congregation that was facing great difficulty and persecution. Throughout the letter, the pastor urges the congregation to hold fast to their faith, trusting in Jesus, who had been tested in every way as they were, following in the footsteps of the great cloud of witnesses who had already endured hardships long before them, trusting in the God who was bigger than all of their troubles. Therefore, the preacher proclaims, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." Trade the clouds of grief and doubt and fear, the preacher encourages his listeners. Trade them for the great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints, past, present, and future. Surrounded and uplifted by their faith and support, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who ran with perseverance the race set before him, a race that took him all the way to the cross, to the grave, and ultimately to the right hand of God. Take comfort and take courage in this great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on and pointing us to Jesus, who will show us the way forward. In our second lesson, Jesus himself gives his disciples words of encouragement and shows them the way forward. This is part of Jesus' farewell speech to his disciples at the Last Supper, and he is trying to prepare them for the massive changes, disappointments, and grief that are coming right around the corner, along with his arrest and his death and resurrection. "Don't be afraid," Jesus says. "Don't let anxiety and worry overwhelm you. Trust in God and trust me. There's plenty of room in God's neighborhood for all of you, and you will always be my neighbor. Yes, some scary things are going to happen, things I wish you didn't have to see or experience. You're probably going to feel very sad, maybe angry, probably scared and unsure how to go on. But I am not leaving you alone to deal with it all by yourselves. You have each other, and the rules for living in God's neighborhood that God has already given you. Remember those 10 words of love for life in God's neighborhood? Remember, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God? Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. As long as you are living, as I have taught you, I will be with you," Jesus says. "And though I won't be there physically with you, I am sending my Holy Spirit to be with you, to live with you and in you, to sustain you, to remind you of everything I have taught you, to give you hope for the future, and a peace that is much greater than anything the world can ever give you." These words that Jesus spoke to his disciples so long ago, he speaks to us even now, even today, even in the midst of a pandemic and political unrest and uncertainty about the future. We are not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We are neighbors in God's neighborhood together. We have the Holy Spirit abiding with us and filling us with God's peace. As many of you know, I often begin my homily for a funeral or memorial service with a line from Mitch Albom's book, Tuesdays with Morrie. I borrowed this line from Reverend Randy Riggs, one of my former pastors at my home church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I continue to use it because I believe it speaks an important truth that we all need to hear, especially in times like these. Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship. Mitch Albom wrote these words as he reflected on the life and death of his dear friend, professor, and mentor, Maury Schwartz. Death ends a life, but it does not end a relationship. This is important for us to remember today as we gather to remember those who have gone before us and are no longer with us. The people we knew and continue to love may be gone from us physically, but they are still present with us, emotionally, spiritually, in our memories and experiences, in the many ways they shared themselves with us, and the many ways that they continue to inspire us in our own living. And I would like to expand on Mitch Albom's words a bit today. The coronavirus may have ended life as we know it. It may have taken away people or activities that we love. It may have deprived us of certain resources, opportunities, and dreams that we had been looking forward to or counting on. But the pandemic, the political unrest, the upheaval, and the uncertainty, they do not end the relationships and the core values that are most important to us. They cannot take away the good news that God is with us, or our hope in the future, or the peace that passes all understanding that we know in Jesus Christ. They cannot take away the good news of God's love for us and for this world, an infinite and overflowing love which transcends all of our present difficulties and endures every trial, a love which abides with us and in us and among us, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the good news that the communion of saints is chanting all around us, throughout the ages and right now, in this moment. This is the good news that grounds our life together in God's neighborhood. This is the good news that we remember and celebrate every time we gather around the Lord's table. This is the good news to which we hold fast in the midst of our doubts and anxieties, our grief and disappointments. And this is the good news that we proclaim to the world as we move forward in faith, in ministry and mission together as God's people and Christ's body here on earth. Amen.